This is the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the very 31st day of October. On the phone line with us to talk about the marketplace is Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Got all your kids all ready for trick-or-treating tonight, Mike?
Hey, Todd.
Yes?
Why do vampires read Dave's weekly copy?
I have no idea.
Because it has a great circulation.
Oh, Dave will appreciate that greatly.
Happy Halloween, Todd. Yes, we'll be going trick-or-treating. In fact, my oldest daughter is dressing up as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz in honor of our first year out here in Kansas.
Oh, congratulations. That'll be so very much fun. I suppose we probably better talk a little bit about the marketplace, though. So tell me about the way we ended the week in Chicago, what the weekly trades look like, what it might mean in the coming week. And we also ended the month as well.
Yeah, good point. The major takeaway, I think, from both this week and this month is that the grains are more balanced in price now. We're not just trading only the big supply, and we're not ignoring, I should say, the export demand. We're starting to factor that export demand in, and I think also we've seen those investment flows come in pretty nicely as we talked, you know, at the end of September. They were late coming in, but they came in nonetheless. And when I looked at the monthly numbers, the hogs were down 18%, crude oil down 12%, but you had the Bloomberg Grain Index up 14%. Leading that was meal coming in up 26% for the month, and then the beans right behind it at 14%. The sleeper in all this was the corn up 17% on the month. So I think what I would say at this stage going forward and heading into the November 10th report, and also as we head into the end of the U.S. harvest, Todd, is I think that the problem becomes at this stage that we need to keep the exports, and we don't want to ration any exports and any more exports than we already probably started to do, because our weekly numbers started to show that. And probably most disturbing to me is the inflationary indicators that I've been looking at and been talking about, that helping bring investment money into the agriculture sector and reallocation of assets. That's starting to weaken, and especially in light of Asia and a bigger threat of deflation there. So just to give you an idea, the Japanese yen has fallen 6.5% in the last 15 days. We are at a seven-year low, and that has pretty much happened in the last 2 weeks of this month. That, I think, has a ripple effect, a negative potential ripple effect in the investment side of the equation when it comes to the grain. So I'm not a buyer here. I think you got to go into the USDA crop report and the end of U.S. harvest, rewarding the market a little bit here, especially if you relied on cash sales.
Yeah, Mike, I was thinking about some of this earlier in the week related to other issues, but about the 1990s, in the middle of the 1990s, when there was a lot of excitement in agriculture. We had a brand new farm bill. They thought China was just about to start to really purchase U.S. commodities. The Asian tigers were on fire. And then things folded in East Asia, and it took another decade before any of that really came back. Are you fearful at all at this point about the economies in East Asia? Are they doing well enough that we might be able to maintain the gains that have already been made?
I don't think they are at this stage, Todd. I think what the biggest problem we see now by the Bank of Japan just last night saying we're going to throw more money at this issue, commentators are already talking about the European Central Bank now needing to move in retaliation of that to try and weaken the euro against the yen. That's not my biggest concern. I think you'd nail it with the Asian rim. The biggest problem we're going to face is that Japan and China start to work against each other, because essentially they're vying for the same exports. And unfortunately, China and their housing market has not been, it has been a strong enough negative influence on their GDP that they're looking now to have to go back to an export-led market. Well, that flies in the face of what Japan's trying to do. And so they could become, you know, in terms of a currency war that we talked about in Latin America, 6, 8, 9 months ago, we could start to see a currency war develop in Asia. That's where it would really hurt, I think, potentially our agriculture sector and set up a deflationary commodity environment. And I think the gold's already telling us that. I was very surprised to see the gold break as hard as it did But when you see what the Bank of Japan did last night, it makes a lot of sense why the precious metal bulls are jumping for the exits right now. And so I'm not ready to sound alarm bells, but I think you're very wise in bringing up the 1990s in the idea that if we all can't play nice together on the board, then the board game's no good anymore, and when we all pay a price for that. And that's what I'm getting more nervous about in reaction to what the Bank of Japan did.
What's your thought process on soybeans and the price in that marketplace? It has jumped dramatically. That basically on, I think, a distribution problem with bean meal. Can it be maintained?
It cannot. I think this is where today I was on the phone with some more colleagues and contacts, and I was on the phone a lot this week with colleagues and contacts. And I think the bottom line for me is it looks as though you're seeing a double booking process occur by the processor. He's booking trucks now that he could not get the rail taken care of, and I've got that on from a couple different reliable sources. And whenever you double book freight and you essentially are double dipping, you put a false price in the market. And so that would lead me to think that this is not going to end well. I think the biggest thing that I saw this week that answered the question for me was that I had heard from a client that in eastern Indiana, basis was widening dramatically in soybeans to near 60 under, but yet 50 miles away from these locations that I was being told about in Decatur, Indiana, at the crusher, the basis was only 30 under. There should be no reason why the crusher cannot get beans, especially with bigger elevators that don't crush full. I think it really does become an issue where either the soy meal containers, the rail cars that load soy meal and soy oil out on at processors is the problem in terms of getting, or you do have a locomotive problem so that you can't get those spurs taken care of and get those processors filled with those cars. The secondary rail market's coming down dramatically from the last 4 weeks high, and so it's not necessarily a rail car issue at face value. It just says to me that the rationing of the export market could be coming, and also, at the same time, maybe the rationing of the livestock market, that the producers of pork and poultry are not going to really want to buy expensive meal, and they'll trim their weights at this stage of the game. So I don't like what's happening in the bean market right now.
Anything, speaking of livestock, that we ought to talk about on the cattle? Again, another $170 day.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, you're at a record spread between cattle and hogs in lead month futures, trading over $80 a hundredweight. Your box beef prices for choice are running $260 again. Meanwhile, your pork cutout is managing about half that. And we're going into the ham seasonal and the turkey time period here. So my take would be that if the cattle continue to run higher, they're going to pull the hogs up with them. I think the more likely scenario is you'll see the hogs find some good cash seasonal support, but the cattle have a little bit more difficulty at this stage of the game.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You betcha, sir. Have a good weekend.
Happy Halloween. Mike Zuzulo, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.